And welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Dennis Fithian, Matt Misler at the Taj Mahal on the ones and twos. Let's go right to the phone, 734-998-1050. Let's go to Bob. Hey, Bob. Hello, Bob.
Oh, hi, guys. I might have a bad connection. I don't know.
No, you're good.
I'm good now. Hey, I'm sitting here. It's raining today. I love to listen to you guys. I love shows like this because you get the real hardcore fans calling in. My family lives in Asheville, and when I'm there, I love to listen to the Clemson radio shows. I don't know what you guys think about this or not. Maybe the subject isn't something for AM sports talk, but my first year, I went to Michigan, and my first year was 1969. And this period we're in right now, the football program, is the worst it's been in Michigan's history as far as being at the level where Michigan wants to be, which is, you know, championships. And it's just, the problem is so much bigger than, you know, who's going to be the coach and who's going to be the offensive coordinator and should we draft this guy. It's a problem with the culture at the top. They've got to figure out what they want to be. Where do they want this program to be now for the last 20 years when a champion is determined on the field? And ever since Michigan finished the season ranked co-champ in the rankings in 1967, Michigan's has gotten worse and worse and worse as far as what determines a champion. And Ohio State responded 5 years later and has only gotten better and better and better. So that's now the standard in the league. The last time Michigan came out to the Rose Bowl, it was embarrassed. I mean, it's the first time they were never competitive coming out here. And the only reason they were out was because they finished second in the league and, you know, we were into the BCS era, and you could go to the Rose Bowl and not even be the champion of the Big Ten. And that's what they did. And they came out, and the headline in the L.A. Times the next day said, Michigan's offense is a running joke. And really, it's the first time they were never competitive. I mean, it was embarrassing. And that's the last time they've been out. So the culture, the people, the Barton Hills Country Club crowd, and those people that determine who the athletic director is going to be, who will then hire the coach. They have to determine what they want to be, because right now they've never been close to playing for the national championship, and it's much more than, you know, who's going to be the coach and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. What do you guys feel?
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that Ohio State's distanced themselves from everybody. I think the frustrating part is like you get the advantages that they've had, you know, and the success that they've had that they've been able to continue to roll it over. But the frustrating part is we've seen different teams like Michigan State and Penn State still jump up and bite them and be able to get and at least get a shot. And Michigan hasn't. I keep going back to 2016. I was looking at the two deep, Bob, last week. And you know what? You look through every unit there, the defensive line, the linebackers, the secondary. Michigan had guys all through there that were going pro. Like they had NFL talent everywhere. Since that 2016, I look at the two deep this year and I look what they have coming back next year. And I look at the coaches that they're bringing in, everything else. And, you know, maybe they'll be able to coach them up, but they can't hold a candle to the kind of talent that they had just a few years ago on defense. And then you get to the quarterback position, and we talk about that all the time. You know, the first year that it looked like a pretty good, thing to bring in Rudock. But, you know, after that, you know, Spate, you know, had some moments there, but got hurt, but they just haven't been able to get that position right. So, Jim doesn't seem like he has the same vigor in recruiting. Like he was birthing calves and climbing trees. And, you know, the last month or two, it was more about, well, let's just see if we can get this contract, combed over, rather than, you know, the intensity of, you know, what he was doing about, you know, the team, whether it was the personnel or the coaches or whatever else. So, yeah, I'm not really sure where they're at. I think they're, in the middle of the pack in the Big Ten East. And I think that's where they're it's a 7-5 team. As much as we like to get excited about the coaches that they're going to bring in, the personnel that they have, this is a 7-5 team heading into next year. Doesn't mean you can't be excited about them and hope that they have a season where everything hits and, you know, they could be a little bit better and maybe finish in second place in the Big Ten East. But I don't think, like, even if everything fell into place, that you could talk about them, you know, beating Ohio State or having some kind of special season. But, you know, maybe it could be something to build on.
Bob, I think you've hit upon something. I think it's going to be – here's the deal. Look, you brought in the right coach, but he's got the wrong type of attitude. He's got a revolving door. He doesn't keep coaches that he should keep. He didn't take advantage of the opportunity when he had to beat that team down south when they had the chance to beat them. And when he didn't take advantage of that, and when he got rid of the coaches that he got rid of, coaches that would go out and recruit and use that year, the 2016 year, and use that year as a strong recruiting year, replacing the players that he was losing that year, he didn't take advantage of it. He sat and said, they're going to come. They will come because the way we competed this year. Oh, that's a bunch of crock, because anybody can do that. Anybody go in, as Dennis said, anybody. Look, Ohio State will always beat Michigan because it is the game for Ohio State. It is one of the most important games on their schedule every year. And it makes me cringe when I hear that's just the game in November. It'll be a big game when we get to it. It makes me cringe when you hear that. It is the game. It is the game. It is the most important game on your damn schedule. Start giving it the credit that it deserves. Stop saying it's just a game. It's not a damn game. It's a war, boy. Get out there. You need to coach them up, get them ready, and go down that schedule each game by game before the season starts. And you tell those young men how they're going to beat each team. And then when we get to this one, you know what we got to do. It is the game. And you need to emphasize that and go get some players. Stop. You got to stop letting let coaches go. Because here's the problem. You got coaches out maybe for 2 years recruiting, and then they get a new coach coming in from Michigan. Who the hell are you? I'm the coach from Michigan. Well, what happened to old boy that was coaching it? Oh, he got let go. I mean, what does that say? What does that tell you? Stop the revolving door. Stop it. Live with the coaches you got, and I guarantee you, you'll be able to recruit. You need to go recruit, and I'll say it again, you need to go recruit Ohio. You need to go recruit Pennsylvania. You need to go to Wisconsin. Get you some players that want to beat the teams that you play. Get you some players that want to be here and make it like a home for these kids. Don't try to make them NFL players. You're not an NFL facility. You're just a college. You're a university. Build these kids. Build their minds. And for Christ's sakes, make them hate Ohio State. My goodness, that's what you need to do. That's it. It's easy. It sounds simple. It ain't. But you can do it, big guy. You in the big seat. You can do it. Trust me. I seen you. I seen you play. I played with you. I know you got the heart. You just got to dig deep and find it and pull it up. Just saying.
Yeah, I'm listening. I just wanted to respond to what he's saying when he's done.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
I'm done. Go ahead, Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
No, I'm listening to Jamie talk about it. Listen, I couldn't agree more with what you're saying about the players. Zach Charbonnet, you were talking about a half hour earlier. You know, I watched Zach Charbonnet in a semifinal for the state championship in the Southern District when he was a senior. He played both ways. He went back a punt 60-some-odd yards. one of the guys he was playing with, DJ Ugalele, he started as a freshman for Clemson this year. And another kid who was on his team, Westlake, Zach's team, he was MVP in the Pac-12 championship game this year. They're not developing players in there in Ann Arbor like they should. And it's a crime because, you know, it's a special kind of place for special kind of kids who buy in. And, the coaches and the kids, they just – it hasn't been clicking the last few years. Harbaugh had a chance when he first started out. I mean, you know, Rashawn Gary was on the front page of the sports section of the San Francisco Chronicle in his Green Bay Packers jersey last weekend. So, you know, it started out good, but – yeah, I don't think you can recover there. I just think we got to do, you know, it's on to next. And next might be a whole change in the way the college game is put together anyhow, because this thing where you've got a perennial Alabama, you know, South SEC sort of a kingdom that just repeats, it's not going to work. We're going to end up like track and field did, where the thing just collapses all over the country because everything is centered in Eugene with the Knights' money with Nike, and everybody just gives up. So you're going to have to decrease the number of scholarships to 70 or so and give other people a chance, and then Michigan's kind of culture can show through. But the way it is now, I don't see how you climb out.
Well, right. It doesn't look like it with the way things are going, but you know how it is. You know, 10 years ago, Clemson wasn't on the map. 20 years ago, Alabama was a great program, but, you know, it's not like people were sitting around talking about them being some kind of juggernaut. But your point there is well taken, especially about guys like Zach Charbonnet. Now, Zach Charbonnet, that's a huge loss for this Michigan football program. If they are and if they were going to turn some kind of corner and have some kind of special season, Charbonnet is the kind of guy that they needed to keep in the fold and then have him play to his full potential, which could be we keep lamenting about the skill players that aren't getting drafted in the NFL, especially at running back. Charbonnet could have been one of those guys. Charbonnet could win you some ball games. He certainly can get you some tough yards, short yardage and at goal line. And you know what? Michigan really struggled in short yardage situations last year.
Yeah, absolutely. But it wasn't, that goes to the offensive line, I think, as much as Zach Charbonnet. But more critical, when he got, when he announced he was going, he was hands down the best running back in Southern California the year he came out. And I was just so thrilled when I heard that. And it's just crying shame because, you know, Michigan, if you want to be where Michigan thinks it needs to be, you got to recruit nationally now and you got to recruit Southern California. And boy, that would have been a great, great get for Michigan as far as I would have loved to see Jack become a star in the big. And man, that would have created a pipeline to Southern California that we just never had. We almost had it 20 years ago with Justin Fargas. And then they misused him. They broke his leg as a freshman on one of his very first carries. That was the end of that.
But, well, Bob, guess what? Like Fargas, you might be able to see Charbonnet at USC right there in your backyard. So.
Oh, man, I tell you, they got the number one rated recruit in high school this year. I mean, you know, I don't know. Look, I wouldn't be surprised either if SC ends up, they just got Mike Baum as the AD, so I wouldn't be surprised if in 2 years you see Luke Finkel coaching at USC.
There you go.
All right, Bob.
I mean, that's huge. Bob, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate that. We can preach till we blue in our face. It's just got to happen.
Well, you know what, Jamie? When you were talking, I was thinking, you know what, Ryan Day, it just feels like the Buckeyes are down working out right now. And Day's like walking up and down the weight room, you know, telling these guys up there at Michigan, they're getting ready for a basketball game. They're not thinking about you guys and all these guys just sitting there firing up the weights, talking and looking up at the shot clock about how many days they have to go beat Michigan. And it's the same thing in part. I don't know if they're lifting weights up in East Lansing, but it's always like, yeah, Michigan's telling you, little brother, Mike Hart's back, you know, this whole thing, man. And those guys are just constantly fed gunpowder every day about, yeah, Michigan's thinking they're going to blow you out next year, even though you beat them this year. It's all, that's how it seems, the things that are going on now. The line has moved in the college basketball game tonight, and it's going to be played right now. It's still on in West Lafayette, Michigan against Purdue. Earlier in the week, it was -3 Michigan. Today, it was -4. But with the news of Sasha Stefanovic missing this game and then missing up to 17 days because of COVID, the line is now at -5 for Michigan. Andy Katz pointing out that Stefanovic missing 17 days in 3 games due to testing positive. Katz says the reason the Boilers are not on pause is that Purdue is saying extensive protocols followed, no cumulative 15 minutes of contact, they've had masks everywhere, no eating on the bus, planes, everyone has been in their own rooms, and they have daily testing. That's why Katz says that Purdue is saying why they're not canceling the games or why that they're not pausing right now, why they might play this game tonight.
And actually, a tweet came across a few minutes ago from the sports information director for Purdue men's basketball, Chris Forman, says we are very confident in our protocols. So we'll see if anything changes. I mean, this is definitely, you know, huge implications right now as far as whether this game actually plays out. I don't know. This is going to be interesting to say the least.
Well, you know, one part, Miz, like, and I get all those things that they put in those safeguards, especially that don't stay in contact with anybody for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen, like, football or basketball that competition actually is something where you're going to catch COVID. But, you know, you're bumping and grinding, you know, for the entire game. I don't. If you're not the cumulative 15 minutes or that bubble, that it seems like that is something like it seems like Michigan's at higher risk now of maybe getting hit with some COVID with this game here tonight.
I mean, considering they just came off a victory at Ohio State as well too, and someone just put out the video of them celebrating in the locker room afterwards, and that falls within that 21-day guideline. So I don't know. I really don't know what's going to go down.
If I'm Juwan Howard, I'm calling Ward Manuel right now, and I'm saying I don't know about this. I want to play the season. And if look, we need to call the Big Ten office or whoever you need to call, and we need to move this game. I hate canceling games. I don't like it, but it's too close. You're risking your team. You're risking. You want to play one game so you can miss the next 10? Or I don't mean the next 10, maybe 5, 6, something. I mean, you never know how many kids get it and how many kids don't get it. Look, you're right now, you're rolling the dice on this one. This is a roll the dice type of game now.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. That's just my feelings.
Do you guys want to do picks before we get on out of here before Michigan hockey takes over at 6 o'clock?
Let's do it.
Okay. Only 2 NFL games this weekend. We're coming down to it. The NFC title game. The Buccaneers travel to Green Bay to take on the Packers. The Pack are 3.5-point favorites. Jamie Morris, who you got?
TB. And that means Tom Brady, and that means Tampa Bay.
Okay.
So I got it. Write me down.
All right, Dennis.
I'm rooting for the Bucs, but I think the Packers are going to win this one by double digits.
You know what? I said it earlier. I think Tampa Bay is going to be the first team to play in the Super Bowl in their home stadium. I'm going to take Tampa Bay on this one. And then the nightcap at around 6 o'clock, the Buffalo Bills travel to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. The Chiefs, and this was even after the news came out that Patrick Mahomes is clear, are only favored by 3 points. Dennis Fithian.
Yeah, this seems like a lock that the Chiefs are going to win this one and win it handily. I like KC.
J-Mo.
Look, Mahomes, you guys already told me Mahomes is coming back. You know I'm taking KC.
I'm going to be the one that's going to be the eyeball. I'm going to take the Bills in this
Bills
one.
Bills Mafia, man.
Why not? Why not? They're the lovable losers. I'm going to take them. And let's just say hypothetically, as of right now, as of 5:59, this game down in West Lafayette plays. Who you guys got in this game?
I'm going to take Michigan in a close game. I think they get to 80 points again. I'll take them 80 to 74 to cover that 5 points.
Jamie?
82 to 68.
Ooh, I think you're like Price is Right me there a little bit.
Wow,
I'm not sure.
I'm gonna take I'll take Michigan in this one. I'm gonna go lower on this one. I'm gonna say Michigan wins by a final of 77-71. As long as this game takes place, and with that, gentlemen, we got to get on out of here.
Miz, put that dollar up on the board.
Put that buck up there, baby.
There you go. That's going to do it for the week. You've been listening to the M Zone on WTKA AM 1050. The Ticket.